Hello again, and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for July 2012. Well, unfortunately, last month proved a bit of a disappointment, with the weather not being very kind to us for the transit of Venus. All we saw at the observatory was the underside of rain cloud, and of course, true to form, just as we were going home disappointed, the sun came out. However, the historical importance of the transit was great. Accurate timing of the passage of the planet across the Sun's disk enabled astronomers to quite accurately work out the distance from the Sun to the Earth, and from this they could work out the distances of all the planets from the Sun, and even the distance to the nearest stars and beyond. Anyway, back to July. The Moon, this month, is full on Tuesday the 3rd, and new on Thursday the 19th. So, as always, the best time to look at the Moon is when it's a crescent, around the 11th to the 25th of the month. All the planets are visible in July at one time or another. Venus, still in Taurus, is now an early morning object, having crossed to the other side of the Sun last month. Best seen as its usual bright self about 4 in the morning at the end of the month. Jupiter returns as a late evening object around 2:30 a.m. onwards in the second half of the month, quite low down, initially in Taurus, but then rising as the months go on. Mars is still around in the constellation of Virgo in the west-southwest around 10:30 in the evening, but Saturn is still probably the best object to view, still in Virgo, just to the right of Mars, around 10:30 in the evening. Mercury is visible just after sunset at the beginning of the month, about 25 degrees north from where the Sun has just set, and about 5 degrees above the horizon. If you are a little more confident at finding planets, you can look out for Uranus and Neptune. These are best seen this month at about 3 a.m. in the morning in the southeast and south, respectively. You'd best look at the Sky Guide for more detailed information. For the second month running, there are no notable meteor showers this month, but look out in August for the Perseids. More about them next month. A couple of sights to look out for in July. On Monday the 16th, Venus, Jupiter and a very thin crescent moon will provide a nice photo opportunity at around 3:30 in the morning, and the day before, on the 15th, from most parts of the country, particularly from the Ipswich area, Jupiter will be involved in an occultation with the Moon. This means that Jupiter will appear to disappear behind the Moon at around 3 o'clock in the morning. Again, if you want to seriously observe this phenomenon, please look up exact details on the internet or other data source. On to the constellations for July. Unfortunately, it doesn't get very dark this month, but when it does, July is a good opportunity to look for the unofficial arrangements of stars called asterisms. The most famous of these is the Plough, which is actually part of the constellation of Ursa Major, or the Great Bear. Other asterisms include the House, the Kite, the Keystone, the Steering Wheel, the Circlet, and more famously the Summer Triangle and the Square of Pegasus. Have a look in a star atlas, either online or in a book or magazine, to identify these asterisms and try to find them in the sky yourself. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Another useful tool, as I mentioned last month, is a planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year. These are readily available from any good bookshop. Listen out next month for August's highlights. Bye for now.